Please stand for the call to worship. Grace to you and peace from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We gathered to worship with joy and not fear. For the power of God's love, we have been reconciled to God. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Let us worship our God, who has brought us peace and given us life.
How are y'all doing today? Good. Have you noticed anything different about the sanctuary this morning?
There's
a candle, a Christmas tree. What do you think that Christmas tree is all about?
Christmas.
Christmas, yeah. What about this right here?
Advent.
And do you know what Advent is?
I've got some hints.
Got some hints? Well, take a guess. About Jesus, yeah?
Advent is about when, like, pretend you have $5 and you just want to spend it on ice cream, you could give it to the poor and they could buy it on something good.
Yeah, that's, we do that on Advent as well. There is, do you know what the, how many weeks are there in Advent?
Four,
right. Five candles. We'll light the big white one in the end. But each one of these candles represents something. And today we're, do y'all know what today is?
Sunday.
Sunday, yes. Today we celebrate peace, and peace is the theme of this Sunday in Advent. And I wanted to share with you a little verse, but before I do that, I want you to know when Jesus was born, we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas, so we're getting ready for Jesus' birthday. And a lot of people don't know this, but when Jesus was born, there was a lot of hostility, and there wasn't much peace in the world. And King Herod had just been elected governor in Israel, and the church was kind of, you know, all up in conflict and controversy. And everyone was frustrated with each other, and everyone was fighting. And all of the people who were in Israel, all of the Jews who Jesus would be born into, they remembered a song that an old prophet had taught them. And I wanted to read it for you this morning. But when we talk about peace, particularly in the context of Advent, this is what it's all about. It says, For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And that's the song that they remembered when they went into the public square, they went into their churches, or wherever they went. Everyone was arguing, and everyone was fighting, and it got really bad. And they remembered that song, and when Jesus was born, he became the embodiment of that song. And he brought peace to their churches and to their societies and to everywhere that he went. And so today when we celebrate peace, we're celebrating the same peace that everyone was anticipating 2,000 years ago. We get to celebrate it again today. So I'm going to light that candle in just a second. But before we do that, you guys join me for a word of prayer before we dismiss? That one's from last week, so we'll light that one this week, and then next week we'll light that one, and the last week we'll light this pink one. So you light one a week.
The pink one.
Yeah, so by Christmas time, it'll all be rocking.
Usually we come around the circle.
Yeah, we'll do that too. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church, and especially for the children that we have here. We thank you for Advent and for all that it represents, and especially today for the peace that we have in knowing your Son. We thank you that you bring us together and that peace is something that defines our community and defines what we do in this world. We ask that you would be with us during this service and all of Advent. In your name we pray. Amen.
Join us in the lighting response you will find in the worship order.
Light the fire of life. Let the candle reveal his glory. Jesus Christ is come to us. Let us welcome and sing him.
Light the candle of his peace. Light the light of
morning and welcome to worship here at Southside Baptist Church on this, the second Sunday of Advent. We gather here today to sing praises, to have our hearts and spirits united as we worship, to be warmed by the presence of Christ and each other in this time of worship today. There are those of you here that are guests today, and then there are also those who are members, and maybe we haven't seen you in a while here in worship, so we're glad that you're all here. And we want to know your names. If you're a visitor or a guest, we especially want to know yours. We hopefully know all of our members, but even that sometimes slips by. So we would like to have everyone to fill out the registration leaflet you'll find in the order of worship there. And then also on the back side of that, you'll see a place where you can order the poinsettias that will be decorating the front of the sanctuary for the next two Sundays. And you can leave those or purchase those or gift those in memory or in honor of someone. So please do that as you look at that and fill out the registration leaflet. I do want to say this. We, as a church, we have this printed who we are at Southside inside the order of worship, and that's who we are. We are a church here in the heart of the city, building an inclusive community of grace, first in this community and then beyond. And we hope that as you came into this house of worship today, that as we gather here and that you were welcomed warmly, and that as you were welcomed, that you know that you could find a home here or at least a place to worship on any day you choose to come. So we welcome all that are gathered here today. May we continue to worship as the Lord guides us today.
Will you join me this morning as we bring our prayers to God? Compassionate Creator, you have been alongside us since the dawn of time, sustaining, encouraging, inspiring, developing the capacity of hope within our hearts and supporting the growth of love within our lives. On this second Sunday of Advent, we come to you, opening our hearts now to your continued presence in our midst, to your graciousness, your care, and seeking in the midst of the turmoil of life, your peace that passeth all understanding. During this season of Advent, we remember the prophets, those people who felt your presence closely and deeply, who remind us today of the way in which you promise to come into our lives, into our world, and bring us your presence. We come thus on this second Sunday of Advent with our hopes, our yearnings, our intentions, as well as our fears and our apprehensions, seeking to find direction, longing to make connection once again with your love and your purpose for our lives, seeking forgiveness for the mistakes that we have made, and hoping to live better lives. Open us this morning to the flow of your forgiving love, and help us to step onwards and forward with courage and commitment to know all the new possibilities of your peace and joy within our hearts. Loving God, work in and through our frail humanity. Help us to be part of making your kingdom come. We come to you today with thoughts of turmoil and the loss of life in different parts of the world and within our own country. And we pray that you would be the Prince of Peace, that you would break through into the lives of those who seek destruction and change their hearts to seek your justice and your kingdom. And help us to make known the ways of justice and peace in the places where we find ourselves this week, studying, working, living. Enable us to share, to listen, to keep learning, and to know the value of all. The value of the weak, the poor, the sick, and the vulnerable, and to feel at this time of the year the challenge to care for those who are in need. And this morning we especially come in prayer for those whom we know, our family in different parts of the world, our friends, our colleagues at work, members of friends of this community of faith who are not well, who are recovering from sickness and from hospital care. We pray that you would grant your healing touch and your peace and a promise of hope in what often seems to be an instance of despair. Gracious God, God of peace, shine into our hearts today and hear our prayers as we offer them in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray with confidence and boldness, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our first reading today comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This ends our lesson from the Hebrew text. Our gospel reading today is found in the third chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 6. It is the passage about John the Baptist, one that prepares the way for the Christ. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, and rough ways smooth. And all people will see God's salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
I suppose the question that's often asked at this time of year is, why can't we have some more cheerful carols to sing on Sunday? Looking at our Advent plans, they're going to come, but there are several other hymns that are in a more minor key. Advent is about looking forward. Advent is about thinking, reflecting. What is the significance of the coming of the Christ child so many years ago, but what is the significance of him coming today? And Advent is probably that time of the year when the church is most countercultural in the world in which we live in. After all, the decorations are going up. Now, I know you're interested in what I said last week about putting the decorations up for the first time in our home since we moved over from Britain in 2002. Well, the two bushes outside our front porch are well decorated with lights. But in the evening, last Sunday, when I turned them on and I looked around me, I realized that they paled into insignificance in all the lights that were shining around the houses round about me. My neighbors seemed to be convinced that they need to pour money into Alabama Power and make them more profitable this year with all the lights they have outside. And we like to be cheerful at Christmas, at Advent, don't we? 96.5 has been playing non-stop Christmas music since at least Friday the 13th of November. Don't they know we're meant to wait until after Thanksgiving? We've had a happiness of Black Friday. I hope you enjoyed it. Crowds of shoppers saying goodwill to all men and women as they crowd towards the sales counter. American holiday season is well and truly in full swing. But Advent is that opportunity that congregations have to begin to think about that earth-shattering and history-dividing event, which this time of year anticipates and seeks to connect with. The rich biblical themes of hope, of peace, of joy, and of love. They're sometimes not as evident in our contemporary society as we would like to imagine them to be. Now, I don't think the church should ever be accused of being Dickensian, like Ebenezer Scrooge, who had that squeezing, wrenching, grasping, clutching, covetous old sinner type of personality. You know the story of Christmas Eve, when Scrooge is at his desk working as normal, and his nephew and employee, Bob Cratchit, wishes him, "Merry Christmas, Uncle, God save you." The innocent remark prompts a tirade about Christmas with that well-known bah humbug. Well, Advent isn't about humbug. Last week, we considered what it meant to be hopeful in the midst of Advent. And today, we consider the message of peace. We pass the peace. We celebrate the Prince of Peace. We pray for peace. Like Simeon, we even ask that, "Lord, help your servant to depart in peace." There's a tradition in Scotland about having people's homes with a name to them, not just an address. The home I grew up in from the age of 11, the address was 40 St. Quivoc's Road. We like saints in Scotland, even although we're a Protestant country. We like saints. But our name, the name of our house, was Cessnock. Now, Cessnock was named after a castle in my home county of Ayrshire. And then we went, in my second Baptist pastoral charge, we went to the north of Scotland, where it was cold in the winter, and we discovered that the parsonage of the Baptist church was called Bermuda for some unknown reason. And then when we bought a house just outside of Edinburgh when I taught at our theological college, it was called Puddledub. We had a great idea when we were first married that when we would have our own home, we would call it Shalom. And then we had the children. And we were so grateful we had never taken up that idea and put it into practice. Peace. Peace. When Isaiah gives that prophecy of peace that Chris mentioned to the children this morning, he speaks about later on, not just the Prince of Peace coming, but he speaks about the time coming when a lamb will lie down with the lamb. It's a remarkable prophecy. Because Isaiah is speaking in the context of an invasion that has come into the country of Israel. They have been devastated by people coming and robbing them of peace and security. Israel had been laid waste. Trees were shattered. Israel's army had been defeated once again. And the only thing that was left as a symbol of the nation that Isaiah takes up is the stump of a tree cut down for arrows or for firewood, as the land was burned in a kind of Sherman scorched earth policy. And we read our newspapers in 2015. We explore our online feed. We watch our television sets. Turmoil, bitterness, shattered cities, burned out communities throughout the world, violence in our own country, fear and uncertainty. Paris perhaps is beginning to fade from our mind, but we've got Colorado and San Bernardino to keep it alive. Where is this message of peace? In that context, God says a remarkable thing through Isaiah. Over and over again in the second part of this prophecy, especially in chapters 40 to 55, he says, "Fear not." And he doesn't just say it once. It comes over and over again like a refrain in the context of a hymn. Fear not, I am with you. I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, they will not overwhelm you. Fear not. And you begin to wonder if Isaiah has lost it. How can you say that? How can you speak about an absence of fear and the presence of peace when everything is in turmoil all around you? Now, the remarkable thing about the prophecy of Isaiah is that the people don't keep quiet about their frustration with God. At the end of chapter 40, they even say, "Why have you deserted us?" And Isaiah comes to them and says, "Why do you say, O Israel, the Lord has abandoned us? He has turned his face away from us. Fear not." That's the context in which this promise of peace comes through Isaiah the prophet, about the Prince of Peace, the Counselor, the Mighty God. And coming of Emmanuel, God with us, the incarnation, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus proclaims his presence and his peace into our hearts, so that in the dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. So we light our Advent candles. It's more than a tradition. It's a statement of faith and hope. Each week we light one more candle. They burn to witness to the message of Advent, of God's hope and peace and joy and love. When these themes seem so unreal to us at times. And we're reminded of it, not just as a claim for today, but for the whole of the season of Advent and beyond, so that when Advent is finished and the candles have all been blown out and they've been removed and they're no longer here, we remember that they still speak to us of God's coming with his message of hope and peace and joy and of love. God's light shines into the darkness to fulfill that which we need and everything that we wish could be. Into the darkness of our failure and sin comes the light of God's wonderful mercy. Into the darkness of our despair, in the midst of our suffering, our uncertainty, our pain, comes the light of God's presence to sustain us. And into the darkness of death and bereavement comes the light of companionship as the Counselor comes and brings peace to our minds and our hearts. This message of peace is powerful. However, there's another prophet, the prophet Jeremiah. We don't often think about Jeremiah because he brings a downer into people's lives. But there's a paradox. He says, "Peace, peace," you're saying, but there is no peace. During a crisis in Judah, the same crisis that Isaiah is speaking to, Judah comes with a slightly different message. Isaiah brings a message of comfort and hope. Jeremiah brings that comfort of hope and says that God is the God who has not forgotten his purposes towards you. God is going to give you a hope and a future, but, he says, don't forget about the things that are going wrong all around you. From the least of them to the greatest, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. From the prophet to the priest, everyone deals falsely. Don't say peace, peace, where there is no peace. Jeremiah is calling in the context of seeking personal peace to seek a corporate nature of a society that is just, that has peaceful relationships, not only between God and humanity, but between human beings and each other. Jeremiah's God is not a small, desperate God pleading for the worship of people, concerned about the dwindling numbers that are attending temple. He is not a caged God, a tame God. He is not a God to be toyed with. He is a God who speaks peace, but he speaks peace that is real. Peace requires honesty and humility about ourselves. Jeremiah actually speaks about a situation where the people have forgotten how to blush. They have become used to the failure in their life and the society all around them, that they no longer stand up for truth and for justice. God's peace at Advent doesn't cover up our mistakes so that we pretend they're not there. It deals with them so that they can be forgiven, and it gives us a push forward to seeing peace and justice within our world. But that's humbling. One of the most remarkable stories in the Old Testament is the story of the great military leader of ancient Israel, its fiercest enemy, who comes to the prophet Elisha. He's got leprosy and he wants to be healed. So Elisha comes to him and says to him, well, God will heal you, but you've got to go and wash in the river. Now, the river that he was going to have to go and wash in was a dirty river, and he's indignant. Surely there must be something more difficult, more glamorous, more heroic I can do. Surely there's a cause I can give an endowment to, and God will heal me. But Elisha says, no, just go and wash in the river. Go and join all the ordinary humble folk who are sluicing themselves in the river after a hard day's work, or beating their laundry against the stones. Go and join the rest of human race and admit to God that you're needy and you need his grace and mercy and forgiveness. The way of knowing God's grace is down before it is up. And of course, that is also what Advent's about with regard to Jesus. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, for my sakes, for our sake, he became poor, so that through his poverty, we might become rich. The Prince of Peace comes in the midst of incredible turmoil and unrest and uncertainty, and he brings us the candle of peace this morning. Peace I leave with you, he said. My peace I give to you. I give to you not as the world gives. So let not your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. O come, Emmanuel. Will you pray with me? God of peace, shine into the darkness of this world, the darkness that causes chaos, that brings hatred. Shine into our hearts this morning and dispel our failure and our fears, that we may know that you're the God who is with us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. A hymn of peace, number 85. Come, Christians all, your Lord is coming. Shall we stand to sing?
Please join me in prayer. Father, with all that's going on in the world around us, we're so thankful that we were able to gather here in this place this morning to worship you and to experience the peace that only you can give. We ask that you bless these offerings that we bring and move us with compassion as we leave this place to continue to give by sharing your love to everyone we meet. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Before we leave today, I wanted to take a moment to thank our music director and organist, Sarah Hazlett, and choir master, Tim Banks, and all of the choir that's here today for all the music that was especially uplifting today. We thank you for that. It's very good. And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't say to Dr. Roxborough that you broke the bread of life to us today again, and it was wonderful too. So we thank you for that. As we go out, as we were reminded in our offertory prayer, to go out and may we continue to give that we are, that is Christ within us, the peace we have that we know, the love that we have and we know, to give as we have been given to those that we encounter day by day. In just a moment, Dr. Roxburgh is going to come and have our benediction, but before we do, would you turn and just greet each other with the peace of Christ, those that are close by you.
We receive the blessing of God. May the peace of God that passeth all understanding keep your minds and your hearts in the knowledge of Christ your Lord and Savior this day and forevermore.